And we're holding on page Chof Hei in Megillah, about six or seven lines from the top by Sapper Lahem Haman. In terms of Osius, it's the middle of the very long Oskol Dalin. We're up to in the Megillah by Sapper Lahem Haman. So, what happens is after Haman has come out from Esther's first party, Sameach Tov Lev, then he sees Mordechai and he gets upset. So he goes home and tells everybody, as Kvod Osher V'Roy Bon, about the glory of his wealth and the many children that he had. So Vakama Roiv Bonim, what's this many children that he had? What's Marsha points out, you know, we have, obviously, it says 10 in the Megillah. But you can't say that can be called Roiv Bonim. You find people in Tanakh who had a lot more children than that. So that wouldn't justify the name Roiv. So the implication is he had a lot more children, and those 10 are unique because those are the ones who got killed and then hanged together with Haman. So, Rav Chista Amar Shloshim. Rav Chista says there were 30 of them. Yud Meis, there were 10 of them died, were killed, and we mentioned them in the Megillah. Or rather, 10 died of other causes. The Yud Nitlu, 10 of them were hanged, as in the Megillah. The Yud Shemachazrim Al Psachim, and 10 of them were reduced to being beggars and had to go begging from door to door. Why is that? So Marsha says the way we figure it is like this. Given that we have in Sefer Shoftim, we have, for example, examples of people who had 30 or even 40 children. We know that the Pasuk tells us explicitly what happened with 10 of them. So therefore we can assume that there were the same number that different other things happened to them, that 10, an equal number died of other causes and an equal number were left to go in bed. So 30 altogether. Rabbanan Amri Osim Shemachazon Absachim Ayin help for you. The Chachamim say we agree about the first two groups, but the ones who ended up begging, there were actually not 10 of them, but rather 7. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Chana's Tefillah, she says, Sveim Balechem Miskoru. Those who were satisfied, who had lots of food, are now having to hire themselves out for work just to get a piece of bread. Rashi points out that actually Targum Yonasan on that Pasuk, in fact, explains that this is Chana talking about Minavua, just this, that eventually Haman, who his children up until then are living off the fat of the land, now they're reduced, now everything turns around in a moment, and they're going around in bed. But the Gemara is darshining, I'll take me Sveim el Shivim. Don't mean Sveim, that's satisfied, but Shivim, that there were 70 of them. Why is that? Marsha says, because you have to consider, after all, why would it Bechlal describe in the Pasuk as Sveim? They're not full now. So it should say something like the people who were full. Sveim suggests that right now they're full, but then why are they Balechem Niskaru? So therefore, that leads the Gemara to Darshan that the word is really Shivim, that it means there were 70 of them. V'Romi Bachoma, or Abba Amakulam Masayim Ushmoina, are you? Rami Ba'Abba says, actually, altogether, Haman had 208 children. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, V'roiv Bono. He's saying about the multitude of his children, V'roiv, the Gematria, Hochi Havi, the word V'roiv is Gematria 208. But the Gemara asks, V'roiv, the Gematria, Mosin Ra'abes Havi. On the face of it, it's Vav Reish, Vav Reis, which adds up to 214. Amar Rav Nachman, no, V'rav, because it's written in the Megillah without the second Vav, so therefore you have Vav Reish Veiz, which equals 208. Now, what's the significance of that? Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, points out in some places in his writings a couple of very interesting things in this regard. First of all, the Zohar says that Vav is Ois Emes, that Vav is the letter of truth. Why that is a whole other matter, and it's beyond the scope of what we're talking about now, but that's how it is, the Zohar says. So therefore, the word over here is Dafka, written without the Vav to represent. Haman doesn't have that letter of truth because he's a liar. But aside from that, Rav Levik also points out that 208 is also Gematria of Yitzchak. So Avraham had a son, Yitzchak, who's Gematria 208. Haman, who is the anti-Avraham, he's the Umaseh of Avraham, therefore, according to this Mandar Amar, he has 208 children. Pasuk says, Balayro Ahu Nodud Ashnas HaMelech, on that night, king's sleep was disturbed. Which king do we mean? The sleep of the king of the world, of Hashem, was disturbed. Now, of course, Hashem doesn't sleep, but nevertheless, there are times when Hashem acts in a way that he acts as though he's sleeping, and we have psukim, for example, by Yurashi Brins, by Yikatz Kiyosh and Hashem, In the Bar Mitzvah Maimer, we've mentioned over there that sometimes Hashem runs the world in a kind of sleep mode, kavyachol, where all that's left is a trace of the chayus of the world, kista de chayusa, as the Zohar calls it. So here you have, up until that point, Hashem was acting in that way. Now, so to speak, Hashem awakes and is going to actually start making things happen and bring about the geula in an open, revealed way. Why does the Gemara doubt in it b'chlal? Marsha points out, any place else in Tanakh where it mentions that somebody couldn't sleep, it mentions why. Here it doesn't, just not Hashanas HaMelech without giving a reason, therefore the Gemara brings the different manda omers of whose sleep it was that was disturbing. And even Yaakov points out a different point. He points out that Nodda is kind of a Loshen Rabin, because after all, it could have said Nod Shnas HaMelech, or Nodda, whatever. Nodda suggests that there were different sleeps that were disturbed. So Rabban and Amri, Nodda are Yonim V'Tachtoidim. Everybody up in Shemayim and everybody down on earth is awake. So Rashi brings from the Medrash that the Malachim are nudging Achashverosh. Achashverosh is trying to fall asleep, and Malachim are coming and nudging him. You ingrate, you ungrateful person, get up and pay back and give the proper reward to the person who did good for you, which is Mordechai. So therefore, the Malachim weren't sleeping, and down here on earth, nobody was sleeping either. The Jewish people weren't because they were busy fasting and davening. Haman and company weren't because they were busy making the gallows. So nobody was asleep except for Achashverosh, who was trying to sleep, and the Malachim are going and bothering him. Omer Rabba, Nodda Shnas HaMelech Achashverosh Mamash. It means the actual sleep of Achashverosh himself. He personally couldn't fall asleep. Noflale Milsa B'dayte. He started thinking about what's going on. Omer, my dekamon, what's going on? What's this strange thing that's happening? There's a mante Esther lahomon b'hadoi, that Esther invited Haman to the party together with me, first that we had already the one party today, and began l'mocher on Nikodu Loim HaMelech. What's going on over here? So we had all the reasons that we learned yesterday that Esther was doing that. Achashverosh, of course, didn't know any of them. So he's getting concerned over here. Duma Eitza Kashakli Alejahu Gavril Mikdalei. Are they maybe plotting together to kill that man, meaning me? Hodr Amar, then Achashverosh further thinks to himself, Ihochi Hava, if that were the case, if they are plotting against me, Loi Hava Inishter, Rochim Livava Moidali, wouldn't there be anybody who likes me and would inform me of what's going on? Hodr Amar, then Achashverosh thinks further, maybe there's somebody who did me a favor and I never paid him back. So now people are thinking, yeah, okay, Achashverosh is a decent fellow, but why should we bother doing him any good when other people have done him good before and he never got any reward? Meshumahochi, they're just thinking to himself, that might be. Because of that, mimani inshi v'lemagaluli. Therefore, people are holding back and not bothering to tell me about plots on my life. So this is why he had brought the Sefer HaZichronos. We usually learn that he had the Sefer HaZichronos brought because it's boring and it'll help him fall asleep. But now we're saying, Rava is saying that actually he Taka wanted to find out what's going on and then get people to be on his side after all. Well, the Pasuk says, Vayu Nikroim, and they were being read. Now that's not the usual expression. It's to say Vayikru or something like that. Vayu Kurin. So Malamachi Nikroim Me'ileh. Means they were being read on their own. Because what happened was, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, Shimshai, who was another son of Haman, was the scribe, and he didn't want to read about what Mordechai did on behalf of Achashverosh. So he was trying to kind of skip over that part, or even erase it, as the Gemara is going to go on to say. So therefore, it was being read on its own, like a voice was coming and it was being heard, despite Shimshai's attempts. Similarly, when it says, Vayimotzei Chosu, that says it was found written, again, Ksav Miboyle, what do you mean it was written, which suggests as though it was just written now? Vayimotzei Chosav, or Ksav, or whatever, there was found a writing in there from years earlier. Amrim, Yitzchak Nap, from Malamach, Shimshai Moichik v'Gavriel Koisev. It means that Shimshai, who is one of Haman's sons, and Rashi brings, based on Psukim and Ezra, he was the royal scribe already from the times of Kodesh some years earlier. We find in Sefer Ezra, when Kodesh gave permission to build the second Beis Mikdash, and they started doing it, so the Pasuk describes how Shimshai and his various hangers-on over there wrote a letter to Kodesh warning that the Jewish people are going to rebel, etc., etc., and Shimshai was then one of the ringleaders of it. So now, years later, he's still the royal scribe, and he's the one who's reading the chronicles to Achashverosh, but he's, as he sees this, wait, what's this business with Mordechai doing in the over there who's trying to erase it. The Gavriel Kosev, and meanwhile, Gavriel was rewriting it. In fact, Rav Shila from Kfar Tamarta gave a drosha about that. So then you can learn a Kavah Chomer from that. Madach, something written down here on earth, which is beneficial to the Jewish people, can't be erased, because if they try to erase it, then we said Gavriel will rewrite it. How much more so when we have something that's written Lamaila in favor of the Jewish people, and Marshall points out, because Gavriel was right there Lamaila. So here Gavriel had to come here to earth to rewrite what's in the chronicles over there, but when you have something written in Shemayim, then he's already there to be able to rewrite to prevent it from even getting erased in the first place. There is, by the way, an interesting vort in this connection, speaking of the fact that Shimshai was the scribe over there. There's a vort, I think it's from the Vilna Gaon, I don't remember. When we have in Perek Beis, the original story, it calls them Big Son Voserish. Now in Perek Vav, it calls them Big Son Novoserish. Where did that extra Aleph come from? So there's a vort, and I think I remember it's from the Vilna Gaon, but I don't remember, who says like this. Shimshai, when he wrote it, he's at least, okay, he can't completely suppress it, but he's trying to at least minimize what Mordechai did. So he writes, Dixon Oi Seresh. Dixon or Teresh. Meaning, in other words, what kind of a guy is this? One of them maybe is guilty, but certainly not both of them. He caused an innocent person to be killed. Now when it's being read, Tachashverosh, some years later, so Gavriel and Rain moved the Aleph to the word big, to go together with the word big son, and the vav to go with vaseresh. Now it says big son of vaseresh, making it clear that yes, both of them were guilty. Not like he's trying to claim. Plus it continues. Vayomer Amalach Manasseh Yikoru Gul of a Gomer. So Achashverosh asks what kind of honor and greatness has been done to Mordechai for this. And then the pasuk says that the Nari Amalach Meshosa, his servants answered, Lo Nasseh Imay Dover. Nothing's been done for him. So Tana, or Omar Rava, Loimit Nesha Oyav Mes Mordechai. They're not saying that because they like Mordechai and they want to see good done for him. Elimit Nesha Soinim as Haman, but rather because they hated Haman. So in other words, the point is, they want to see that at least Haman shouldn't get something good out of it. But Marashar explains, in other words, since the king is asking Ma Nasa Yikor Ugdula, then they should have answered Lo Nasa Ima Yikor Ugdula. What's this Lo Nasa Ima Dover? So it means Marsha is saying, you don't have to give him your Kor Ugdula. Do a dover for him. Do something for him. At least that'll be enough to provoke Haman and make him upset that Mordechai is getting any kind of dover. To give him your Kor Ugdula, that you don't need to do, because they didn't care. They didn't care much for Mordechai either that he should get any your Kor Ugdula. Ion Yaakov points out a different angle on it. The word Nasa can be past tense, but it can also mean future tense. What shall we do with him? And they're answering, Loi Nasa Imay Dover, they're answering that we don't need to do anything. So we don't really need to do anything for him. So they're not doing it out of a love for Mordechai, they're doing it out of a hatred for Haman. So Ion Yaakov, by the way, points out an interesting thing in this regard, that when Achashverosh calls in Haman and also asks Ma Lasis Isha Shea Malachofitz Bikorei, he doesn't mention the word Gdula. And that's part of what Ion Yaakov says. That's what misled Haman to think, who else would the king be talking about than me? Because if Achashverosh had told him, Yikor Gdula, he would realize, wait, there can't be any possible greater Gdula for me. I'm already the prime minister. But like this, when Achashverosh only said, so he's thinking to himself, listen, the king can always give me more honor than I have now. So, and that's what made him think that he's talking about him. So the pasuk says that Haman then had come to ask Achashverosh for permission to hang Mordechai on the gallows Asher Heichin Loi that is prepared for him. Tana. So we learn in a brisa when it says the word Loi. Now it didn't need to say the word Loi. Loi Heichin. It means that he prepared it for himself. Means that all along Min Hashemayim it was determined that this gallows was never meant for Mordechai in the first place. It was always meant for him. So the king's young men said to him, Hine Haman Begamer, Vayavai Haman Begamer, and Achashverosh tells him after he asks him, what should we do? Malas is the Isha Shem Olchav Tzvikore, and Haman thinks that it's him, etc. So Achashverosh tells him, Va'asechem Mordechai. Now you have, in that posik, you have in that half of the posik, you have quite a few seemingly extra words. Achashverosh tells him, take the Tachas Alavush Vesasus, Va'asechem Mordechai HaYehudi HaYoshev V'Sharam Melech. Do this for Mordechai, the Jew, who's sitting by the king's gate. Al Tapel Dov, Mikhail HaShevimarta. Don't leave out even one thing of what you said. Now, it seems very repetitious. We know who Mordechai is. We know where he's sitting. So he should just say, Va'asechem Mordechai, and have done with it. So it means, when Achashverosh tells him, Va'asechem Mordechai, so Haman tried to play dumb. Amay Manu Mordechai. Which Mordechai? Amalei, so Achashverosh tells him, Mordechai Ayudi. Amalei, Achashverosh still tries to play dumb. Tu reyka Mordechai, the Yodai. There are lots of Mordechais among the Jews. Amalei, Hayosha v'shara melech. Amalei, so Haman still desperately is trying to get out of it. Amalei says, "How who stagi b'chodid scouter? For him, you don't need to do this whole public honor. Give him one village that he'll own it and collect taxes from it and whatnot, and have the people work for him. Inami b'chodid nara, or give him one river where he can collect tolls from the boats." Amalei, so that's Achashverosh answers him back with the words of the pasuk, "Al tap el dovam mikol asher dibarta." Don't leave out anything of what you said. Yes, gama v'havlei. Yes, do both. You said that there should be the horse and the crown and the royal robes and all that, do that. And you're saying now that you think it would also be good to give him a lesser reward of a village or a river. Good. Give him that as well. Let him have all. By the way, the Gemara doesn't mention it over here, but you have the Medrash mentions that he had mentioned Vashem Nitan Keser Malchus Veroshay, and Achashverosh started looking at him very angrily, like it looks like you want to put the crown on your head, and therefore when he did the actual thing, and when Achashverosh gives him the instructions, when he does it, it doesn't mention the Keser, it doesn't mention Keser Malchus Veroshay. There are, by the way, interestingly, Mephoshim on the Pasuk who says, Hashem Nitan Keser Malchus Veroshay doesn't mean Achshverosh or Haman or Mordechai themselves, it means the horse. Some of the Mephoshim say there was a custom that on the day of the king's coronation, the horse that he rode on, they would actually have put a crown on the horse's head. So according to that, if Haman means that you should use the horse that was used by your coronation, Achshverosh, Hashem Nitan Keser Malchus Veroshay, where back then they put a crown on the horse's head. So he's telling him to take that horse. So according to that, he's telling him to use that horse, right? Everybody agrees. That's the thing. Everybody agrees that he's telling him to use the same horse. He's saying that Yovil the Susa Sherach of Olav HaMelech, the horse that the king rode on. When it says Vashen Nitan Keser Malchus Veroshay, so one way of understanding it is that Haman is saying that also this person should have the crown placed on his head. And then when Achashverosh starts looking at him angrily, then Haman leaves out the crown because he realizes he's went a little too far. But I'm saying there are Mephoshim who explain that rather Rashi Nitan Kesem Achashverosh is going on the horse. That Haman is saying we should take the horse that you, Achashverosh, rode on the day of your coronation when they put, as part of the celebration, a crown on the horse's head. And now we should take that very same horse that was used for your coronation and we should use it to make this person ride on it. Getting back to the Gemara, Vayika Haman Salavush Vesasus, also Vashkech Rabbon and Vyasvi Kami Mordechai. So he came and he found the Chachamim sitting, his Talmudim actually, it actually says Talmudim, was sitting in front of Mordechai, become a Chavi Lahuchs Kmitzel Rabbonim. He was showing them the halachas of Kmitzel. We have this week's parasha, we have the Korban Mincha. But Rashi explains it was mean Yonah Diyon. This was on the 16th of Nisan, because we know that's the day that Haman was hanged, and that happened later that day. So on Tes Zayin Nisan, we bring the Korban Oim. And you take a Kometz from it. So therefore he was teaching them the Halachas of Kmitzah. The Medrash, by the way, has a little bit differently, that he was teaching 22,000 children who were gathered from all over Shushan, and they see Haman coming, and Mordechai tells them, you should run away, you're going to be in danger, and they said, no, we're going to stay here on Mesiras Nefesh, we're not abandoning you, our Rebbe. Anyway, so, the Gemara has that right here, actually. So Mordechai sees the apical kivle that Haman is coming towards him, and he's holding the reins of the horse in his hand. He obviously didn't know what Haman is coming for, so he thought that Haman is coming to attack him. Mirtas, he was afraid. Amalei l'Rabban, Amalei hu l'Rabbanan. So he says to the Talmidim, Hai Rashiya l'mitl nafshi ka'asi. This Rasha is evidently coming to kill me. Zilu mikanei, go away from him. You guys go and scatter. Dilei tikovu b'kahalter b'kahalti, so you don't get burnt by my coal. In other words, like this, you shouldn't be collateral damage. He's mainly out to get me. I don't want you guys to get in the crossfire. And the Medrash adds the detail that they said that no, we're staying with you no matter what.
He thought that Haman's coming to hurt him.
So Mordechai stood up and wrapped himself in his talus and stood up to Davin. Haman came and was sitting in front of them, and waiting until Mordechai finished his davening, because already now Haman realized he has to have a shtickle derech eretz for Mordechai. So he asked him, what have you just been learning? When the Beis Mikdash was standing, remember that this is during Golas Bavel still, Rachmona Omar, Hashem said, Manda Menadav Mincha, anybody who wants to voluntarily bring a Korban Mincha, he should take a handful of the flour from the mincha, the lichter, agavid mabucha, and that handful will be burnt on the mizbeach, the lichter, and that'll be the kapara for the person. Now, Marsha points out, by the way, if they were learning primarily about the Omer, about the Korban Omer, because it was Tess Zayin Nissen, then why is Mordechai telling them about Minchas Nedava? The Omer, after all, is not brought as a Nedava. So Marsha explains he wanted to stress to him the greatness of even an individual person's Korban. A Mincha is the poorest Korban that a person can bring. We have in this week's parasha, you have a rich person brings an animal, a poor person, like a Korban Olivier, a poor person brings birds, the poorest of all, Dali Dalos, brings a Korban Mincha. So he's stressing that even by that, even Hashem appreciates that so much. And now we don't have the Beis Mikdash, and still we can learn it and it's considered as though we did it. And even that, the smallest kind of Korban, Hashem appreciates so much. Omalei, so Haman says, in frustration, Lacey, you're awesome, Maloy Kumsa de Kimcha Vidhu, look at that, you're one handful of flour, the Lidchi or Vidochi, Yud Alfi Kikri Kaspa, Dahu Gavra. And it's overriding the 10,000 kicker of silver that I wanted to offer Achashverosh. Here I offered Achashverosh 10,000 kicker in order for the right to destroy the Jewish people, and now you're one handful of flour from your Korban Mincha, and that you're learning the halachas about it, apparently is overriding that, because now I see that I have to honor you. Here Tosfos makes the calculation how exactly. We talked about we learned about a few days ago, because the matzah shekel of the Jews in the Midbar sums up to that. One way of calculating it is the matzah shekels sum to that amount. Another way of looking at it is that the erech of a person sums to that amount. If you say it's matzah shekel, then the Bach says we're not talking about not just that one year, but throughout the years of a person's average lifespan. So the point is, it comes out to 10,000 kicker of silver altogether. And Haman is saying that now your one handful of flour from your Korban Mincha that you're learning about seems to be overriding mine. Anaf Yosef, by the way, points out a very interesting point. We've learned before that the story of Purim happened during the 18 years when the building of the second Mizbeach was suspended. Now, the Pesukim and Ezra tell us they did build the Mizbeach first, and they started bringing Korbanos on it even before the Heichal was built, because that's the halacha, Makriv and Apapi Shein Bayis. And the Pashtus, all the years since then, they've still been bringing Korbanos. So what is Mordechai saying? When the Mizbeach was standing, we would bring the Korban. Aren't they doing that every year now? He says, because he didn't want Haman to know about that. If Haman knows about it, he doesn't know yet that Haman's soon gonna have his downfall after all. Haman might well go and tell Achashverosh, you have to stop them from doing that as well. So therefore he wanted to pretend as though right now everything has been stopped and there's no avodah at all. So Mordechai says to Haman, you're saying your 10,000 kicker of silver? What yours? Russia. When an Eved buys Nechosim, Abdad Aman Nechosim Deman. Who does the Eved belong to and who does the property belong to? You're my Eved, as we learned before, the story where Mordechai sold, where Haman sold himself as a slave to Mordechai during the battle over there when he ran out of food. So what are you saying? My 10,000 kicker, it's not yours in the first place. Omale. So Haman tells Mordechai, okay, kum levoish hani money, okay, come put on these royal robes, the rochid haisus, and ride on this horse, the kabari lach malka, the king wants that you should do this. Mordechai says, Lo yachilna, ada zilna lebe bani. I can't do that yet. I have to go to the bathhouse. After all, he had been sacked the Afer for a couple of days. It wouldn't be respectful to wear royal robes into the state. The eshkol the mizoi, and I have to get a haircut. The lav oirach aralish to Moshe, the money to Malchusa. It wouldn't be proper to be wearing the king's clothes without a haircut and without a bath. A couple of Mephoshim, by the way, deal with the problem over here that this was Tess Zion Nissen. First of all, usually Tess Zion Nissen is the second day of Yom Tov. You certainly can't take a haircut on that day. So Anaf Yosef mentioned.
And then
Haman told him, look, I have no choice. I have to put you on the horse and I have to, yeah. So one point is that since the whole concept of the second day Yom Tov is Sfeik of the Yoma, Mordechai and the Sanhedrin were there, they don't have Sfeik of the Yoma, therefore they don't have to keep a second day. What about the fact that it was Chol HaMoed? One answer is given, you have in the Masechta Moed Katan, you have a din, it was just yesterday in Gimel Prokem of Rambam, that if a person was not able to take a haircut before Chol HaMoed, because it was an Avelus, for example, then he's allowed to on Chol HaMoed. So here, Mordechai had been an Avelus for a couple of days before Pesach, and therefore you. Okay. While all this was going on, Shadra Esther sent messengers. She ordered all of the bathhouses, or all of the bathhouse attendants. Asatino, Rashi says, Sivsale Machbiyam. She ordered them to hide themselves. All the bathhouse attendants and all the barbers. So all of them should make themselves unavailable. Why would she do that? Obviously, she wanted to do it in order, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, to force that Haman himself is going to have to do this. But there is also, you could say, Baal Batish, that she wanted everybody should be there for the procession when Mordechai is being honored. But with that said, Anaf Yosef actually brings that it actually means she used the Shem Kodesh. She used the name of the Eivishter to cause them to freeze in place. So they physically couldn't do anything. So Haman had no choice. He himself had to bring Mordechai into the bathhouse and give him a bath. But also, I see Zuber, Zuzan, he based it, and then he went and brought a pair of scissors from his house because Shokul Mazi and he's cutting Mordechai's hair. Why didn't he delegate it? Why didn't Haman say, okay, I'll delegate it to one of my servants? Eitz Yosef brings that Mordechai said no. He said, I'm afraid one of your servants might go and harm me. You yourself, you being the Mishnah Lamelech, you know you're going to be in deep trouble if you try to touch me. So therefore, you I can trust. As much as you're a Russia, you I can trust that you're not going to risk your position in order to harm me. But your servants, I can't trust with that kind of thing.
So they both did not know what's going to happen.
They both didn't know what's going to happen yet, but they knew right now that Mordechai is going to be honored riding around in this procession. Yeah. Bahadi de Koshokulei. As Mordechai was cutting Haman's hair, I mean, the other way around, Haman was cutting Mordechai's hair, I guess I'm starting really on Abul Yada. As he was cutting his hair, in Gidba Atnach, Haman was crafting and sighing. Omalei amai pamatnachas. So Mordechai asked him, what are you sighing? Omalei. So Haman said, look how far I've fallen. Gavra de Choshev le Malkum mikulu Rabranoi, a person who was more important to the king than all of his ministers, me, Kashta l'shavya baloni v'saper, now I'm reduced to being a bathhouse attendant and a barber. Amalei, so Mordechai answers him back, Russia, lav saper b'kfar kautzim ha'isa, weren't you previously a barber in kfar kautzim? And in fact, Tana, we learn in a Braisa, yes, Haman saper shakfar kautzim habachot deis shana. Yeah, he actually worked as a barber in kfar kautzim for 22 years, so he had plenty of experience. Okay. Bosso de Ashkel Elamazi, after he cut Mordechai's hair, Al-Bashe, then he dressed him in the royal robes. Omalei tells him, Solik Rochib, okay, now climb up onto the horse. Omalei lo yachilna. So, Mordechai says, I can't. De kochish cheloi v'tanisa. I'm weak from fasting. Gochimlei, well, Haman had no choice. You have to do what the king wants. So he bent down onto the ground, the Rochib, and Mordechai climbed up onto him. The Kiyav is Solik. And as he's climbing up onto the horse, Batishbe, he gave Haman a kick. Omalei, so Haman says, V'loik sibin furlo yivchal tismach. Doesn't the passage say when your enemy has fallen, you shouldn't rejoice? And here you're not only, you're taking the maximum advantage of me and you're even kicking me and you're Omalei Russia. Hani mili b'Yisrael. That applies when you have a yid who's your enemy for one reason or another. When it comes to your type, see, the positive says, you will step on their high places, and I'm being the kind with you by stepping on your body and stepping on your neck.
I like the fact that he gave it to him straight up.
Yeah. In fact, In fact, Maharshal points out, you have a couple of things over here. That same pasuk, Va'atah b'maseinu sidrach, the first half of that pasuk, that earlier in that pasuk, it says, V'kochashu oyevecha loch. So literally it means that your enemies will deny to you, like they'll deny ever having been enemies. But Maharshal explains, we can also darshan, V'kochashu maloshin kachash, as in weakness. You're going to be weak from your tinyus, therefore your enemies are going to have to do this kind of thing. They're going to have to bend themselves down. Maharshal also adds that when it's the Medrash says that Mordechai was saying in the capital, I praise you, Hashem, that you lifted me up high. You haven't made my enemy happy over me. Here, Haman was thinking he's going to get to do this to Mordechai, and here it gets reversed. So Mordechai was saying this capital to thank Hashem for this reversal, even though, he didn't know that Zayda's not Baltu yet, Haman's still alive, etc. What? Well, I mean, it's getting uncomfortable close to my ribs, so, yeah. We should have Rachmanis on people who, we're not fasting for 3 days, but still, you know. Okay. Yoimim Mashiach Ugo'olo, Yudimol Adabez. Tannis Esther is different than other fast days. It's a special day of its own. You have the four fasts that have to do with the Churban, with all the events before and during and after the Churban. And therefore, what does it mean? That the fast is turned into a Yom Ratzin means the building of the Beis Mikdash by Geula Asiya. Tannis Esther, on the other hand, is an event of its own, which has nothing directly to do with the Beis Mikdash. But now that we are on a day when you have the Golu, the concept of Tainus Esther, then Adraba, you have an advantage today relative to other fast days. You have this Galus Rotzin Elyon Baruch Hu, the Yom Rotzin Hashem, on Tainus Esther is such a high thing that relative, when you look at it from that point of view, there is no difference between a Golus and a Geula at the level of the Rotzin Elyon that's revealed on Tainus Esther. Okay. Continuing with halachos of Shabbos. So we started talking about yesterday about the halachos of washing dishes on Shabbos. So you can't use a cloth or a sponge or whatnot because it is a schita. So you have to use a rag that's designated for that or you have certain kinds of Shabbos sponges you have nowadays, the kind of thing where you wouldn't squeeze it out even on a weekday or the kind of thing that doesn't really absorb water. So, at Bechlau, you're only allowed to wash dishes on Shabbos, only the ones that you actually need for Shabbos. With that said, I think there are halachas about that, for example, if you have the dishes are piling up and it looks unattractive in the kitchen, then I think there may be a certain heter for that, but I'm not quite sure about that. All right.